Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is William from San Diego.
I'm Will. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is January 10th, 2011. And, drugs are a part of my story, so I hope I don't offend anyone, but I just feel like it's a form of my alcoholism, you know, that just progressed. I grew up here in San Diego. You know, I had a normal childhood. No problems. Parents are still married. My dad coached my Little League team. My mom was involved in PTA. I never had a struggle at all growing up, you know. Lived in a house with a dog and a fence, white fence, you know. Normal American upbringing. You know, growing up, I never really felt I was different, but I needed to prove myself to everybody in every aspect of my life, whether it was school or sports or, you know, whatever was popular at the time, I had to be the best at, you know, like, I had to feed my ego with outside things, and I think it's kind of ironic, like, just pulling up here and seeing that I had a 10-minute speaker spot, you know, like, made me feel good about myself, like, you know? Growing up, you know, went to school, and I started drinking when I was 12 years old, and I remember, like, the first time I drank, like, I didn't know this then, but I know this now, like, I had, like, an ease and comfort that came from it, that I didn't care what you thought about me then. It didn't matter, because I felt good, and, you know, that's what alcohol did for me at a young age. You know, it progressed, like, smoking weed in high school and doing that and partying on weekends, but I was really focused on my athletic career. I was a baseball player. I made varsity baseball as a freshman in high school, and that pretty much ran my life. I hung out with a bunch of 17 and 18-year-olds when I was 14, and, you know, they were drinking and smoking weed, and I have to impress people to make myself feel good. Like, if people like me, then I feel good. So that's what I did. I drank and I used, and, you know, I felt like I fit in. And, you know, and I did well in school. I had, like, a 3.6 GPA. I graduated. I had a baseball scholarship to Cal State San Bernardino. And, you know, I went. And when I got to college, that's, like, where my alcoholism, like, progressed. You know, I was out of my parents' house. I had all this money from loans and scholarship money and all this stuff, and I thought it was normal for a college student to black out, you know, nights before their finals. I just thought that was, you know, part of college, you know? And I guess it's not, but, you know, that's how I, like, and once again, I was put in a situation where I was 18 and I was on a team with a bunch of 22, 23-year-old, like, men, you know, and I was still, like, a little boy, and I had to impress them. So, you know, I had a different group that I partied with every night of the week because, you know, I didn't really know who I was. I was just, in everyone's eyes, I was like this baseball player, college baseball player, and, you know, it was just all like a facade. You know, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted out of life. I didn't know anything. All I knew is, like, I liked to drink. I liked the effects produced by alcohol, like it said in the reading we read, and that's what I was going to do. And I thought I was just going to be able to skate by, and it was just a phase, you know. And, you know, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, my third year in college, I was introduced to OxyContin. I never like, taken a Percocet, like, any type of opiate in my life before. And my buddy came across 1,000 of them that he found in a car that he bought from a police auction. And... Yeah. So, right then and there, like, you know, I liked alcohol. I liked the depressant of alcohol, and opiates are like a depressant. And when you mix alcohol and weed and opiates, it's just, you don't give a shit about anything, you know? Yeah, so that's... You know, so that lasted for about a year and a half up at college. You know, I was still playing baseball. I was still on the team. But that soon took over my life. You know, I wasn't going to class anymore. I was waking up, going to get whatever I needed to be well for the day, hungover, and going to baseball practice and coming home and doing it all over again. And the same day, I got a call from my coach saying, Will, like, we know, like, you're on drugs and drinking a lot, and you're not a good fit for this team anymore. You're losing your scholarship. And I got a phone call from the admissions department later that day saying, Will, your GPA is too low. You're out of school. You know, so everything I worked for in my life up to that point was gone. Everything that I thought I was completely shut down. And, you know, I moved back to San Diego thinking I was just going to go to junior college for a year, get my life back together, go back and play baseball in college. And that's not what happened at all. I came down here and couldn't find my drug of choice on here, so I turned to heroin. And, you know, I smoked heroin for a couple weeks, and then I turned onto the needle, and, you know, it was game on from there. You know, once you're sticking a needle in your arm and drinking every night, that's all you live for. And, you know, like, the same bullshit stole from people, stole from stores. My life consisted of living in a dope den in TJ all day, coming back across the border with drugs, and stealing a bottle on the way home. And, you know, that's how I lived my life for another couple years. And, you know, I just woke up one morning, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I just said, I can't do this shit anymore. I can't live this way. I don't know what the fuck to do, though, you know? And I broke down, you know, I broke down, and I told my parents what was going on. And, you know, they had no idea. I don't know why. Like, my dad is in the program, and he had no idea. You know, I think they just kind of didn't want to believe it was true. And my parents weren't mad at all. You know, they were actually relieved because they knew that there was a solution and they could get me help. And, you know, so they put me in a detox facility in a treatment center. And, you know, I went there. And when I went in there, I was just thinking, you know, I just got to get off these opiates. Like, you know, drinking. I, like, quickly forgot how much I drank and before I got into, you know, shooting heroin and stuff. And, you know, I was in treatment one day, and an H&I came in, and this guy was talking about the anxiety that he would get when he was at the bar and he ran out of money. And I identified immediately with that. Like, the anxiety that came over me when I had no more money left and the bar was still open for another hour and I didn't know what I was going to do, you know? So I was in treatment. And, you know, they told me to get a sponsor, so I got a sponsor. And they told me, you know what, you shouldn't move back home. You should live in a sober living. You know, so I spent 10 months in a sober living. You know, something, you know, I was 23 years old at the time, and I did not want to be told what to do. You know, but I did it because I had no other choice. You know, and I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what I go to today. And, you know, my sponsor took me through these steps, and these steps have completely changed my life. You know, I've found out who I am and, like, why I think the way I do. And, you know, that's why I drank, because I didn't know who I was and I didn't like the things I felt. And these steps have taught me that's why I drink and what I need to do now so I don't have to ever drink again. And, you know, today I'm so involved in this, like, in recovery in San Diego. You know, I have H&I panels. I do service work. And all that keeps me sober, because when I'm doing things for other people, like, I don't have to get in my own head. And because my own head gets me drunk and high, and I don't want to ever do that again, you know. I think one of the biggest things for me, though, is, you know, I'm 24 years old, and I have a lot of fun in sobriety. If it wasn't for the fellowship of this program, I would not be here. You know, I play on, like, sobriety softball teams. I travel all around California and, you know, play against other sober teams in tournaments. You know, I play in bowling tournaments. You know, we have so much fun. There's a huge young community in Pacific Beach with a bunch of young, sober people that are down to stay sober for the rest of their lives. And it's amazing, you know. You know, I thank God every day that when I wake up for this program, you know, these steps. If you're new, I suggest get a sponsor right away and just read this book. I guarantee if you read this book, you'll identify with it if you're really an alcoholic, you know. just do these steps have absolutely changed my life. That's like the biggest thing I feel like in this program. You know, you see people relapse all the time. It's because they don't work the steps, or they work 1, 2, and 3, and they don't look at themselves at all. You know, that was like the biggest step for me, 4 and 5, and then actually like making amends to people that I've fucked over in my life. You know, and you know, today I try to carry the message to alcoholics who still suffer. You know, I don't have a sponsee at the time, but that doesn't mean I can't help alcoholics when they're struggling, you know? So, you know, I really appreciate you guys letting me speak to you tonight. So, have a good night. Thanks.